So we've been in a series on moving into the move of God, getting ready, preparing ourselves for a move of God. I genuinely believe, have been believing since I came to Oak Grove, my family and I, in 2002, the Lord spoke to us, and prior to us coming, spoke to this body that he was going to spark a revival in the city, and we would be instruments in that process. That God was going to use Oak Grove to be a catalyst for a great move of the Spirit in the Ozarks. Say, wow, that's a long time ago. Well, God's not dead, and neither is Oak Grove. So we're still believing for, we're still getting ready for, still believing. And it's not like God hasn't moved. How many know God has moved? I said in the last 23 years, God has moved. He moved prior to that. Next year, we'll be 80 years old. And the seeds were sown in this place. Prayers were prayed in this place. Great men and women of God have poured their life and tears and sweat and blood in this place. And it's up to us to take it to the next level. Amen? So that's what we're talking about. It's a move of God. Our text for the whole series was Isaiah 43. Do not remember the former things. It doesn't mean you can't honor the former things, nor consider the things of old. It doesn't mean there's no honor there. Behold, though, the Lord says, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. It shall. Somebody shout, shall. Shall doesn't mean if, it doesn't mean maybe, it doesn't mean might. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? In other words, are you going to miss it? He said, I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That's what he said. How many know that's the word of the Lord? Have you ever seen a river in the desert? Well, it's hard to come by. And roads, how many ever drove through a third world country where they had potholes? How about P&G? Yeah, right over there. If you haven't, go to P&G. You'll find a few of them. So we're moving forward, stepping into God's blessing and his next steps for all of us. Are you ready to move? We moved into freedom on 4th of July weekend. And we moved into to miracles the following week. We moved into missions the following week. And then last week we moved into praise. Remember that? And we came out of the prayer of Jabez. So we're going to go there again today. We're going to move into prayer. Anybody ready to move into prayer? Every great move of the Spirit throughout the ages has been preceded by prayer. Nothing happens that doesn't come in on the back of praying people. And God wants us to be a praying church. Amen? And so we said that last week, we said praise opens a door for change. And I believe I see a change coming. God's Spirit is in us. The people are excited at Oak Grove. We're ready to move into great things. But Jabez, his mother named him Pain. You remember the story last week. But we said his father called praise right out of him. Can I tell you, I'm not sure what your parents might have named you. Pain, I called you Pain. But how many know Father God is calling you praise? You know, I remember when Paul was speaking to the church at Corinth, he said, to the saints of God at Corinth. Can I submit to you that the Corinthian church was nothing close to sanctified? They had problems. How many know everybody has problems? Y'all are kind of quiet today. Turn to your neighbor and say, he said you have issues. Go ahead and tell them, say, so do you. You have issues too. There's no perfect church. If you find the perfect church, you probably shouldn't attend because you'll mess it up. So his father called, Father God called praise out of him. I don't even see a father in Jabez's life. But we are believing God for a generation of Judas. We don't want to be called Pain anymore. We want to be called praise. That was our topic last week. It seemed like it was a whole lot more shouting going on last week. But it's hot out there and you're getting ready for school and maybe the spirit of, I don't know, got on you. But today, we're going to continue with Jabez's prayer as we're talking about a time to move into prayer. And Jabez made three requests to God in our prayer. And I want to look at it. We're moving forward. Prayer of Jabez. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brother. You can say Jabez. You can say Jabez. You can say it any way you want to. But he was more honorable than his brothers. That means he had some dysfunction in the home. And his mother had named him Jabez, pray, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Called him a pain. My mama called me a pain too, but I got over it. Verse 10, Jabez cried out to God, to the God of Israel, and this is his prayer. And I want to go through it today. I repeated it. I want to go through it because those of you who are taking notes want to come to church, to walk out of church with something. Anybody came in here so they can leave different than they came? I hope so. Look what he said. Oh, that you, oh God, would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. Wow. And one other version, it says, so that I might not cause pain. How many know you got a better chance to not cause pain if you're a praising, if you're a worshiper? How many know not, then you shouldn't be a worrier. But it's hard to be a worshiper and a worrier at the same time. How many know you either believe God in prayer or you don't? But there's sweet and sour water can't come out of the same mouth. And so the first of his prayers is bless me. So I want to continue with this today. And it appears his character was stronger than his brothers. And he was more honorable. His mom named him Payne. There was no mention of a father at all. I mean, that's close to our culture today. Not sure all the dysfunction, whether poverty or otherwise, other issues. But one thing that Jabez did have, he wasn't willing to stay where he was. How many know if you have a desire to see change, then God can bring change into your life? Jabez wasn't willing to stay in the same present condition and keep whining about the past and whining about the present. How many know the Lord hears your whining? And he understands. I remember Habakkuk, his Habakkuk chapter 1. How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Maybe you say Habakkuk. Those names, don't let them bother you, okay? Because they certainly don't bother me. I'm just trying to get you into the Old and the New Testament. But he said, how long, O Lord? It looks like the enemy is winning. It looks like the evil is winning over good. How many know the devil is a liar? As long as Jesus is alive, how many know there's still hope for a turnaround situation? That's true. And so one thing he had was he was going to cry out to God in prayer for God to break the cycle of despair that hung over his family. And he refused to live in the past misery and mediocrity. You know, there's some people just love to live in mediocrity and also in misery. Now, we live in Missouri or Missouri, but we don't live in misery. And I'm from Louisiana. But doesn't mean my attitude in my life has to be lousy. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Your culture, your pedigree, where you're from does not determine where you're going. And that's what Jabez is saying. I'm going to break the cycle in my family. And he refused to live in past. Instead, he asked God to unleash his favor in his life. And God answered him in a big way. How many believe God answers prayer? Can this happen? Pastor, can this happen? Can I pray this prayer right here? We're going to stop right here on bless me. Because in the culture of our church world today, it has become a bless me club. And so I wanted to set the record today that when Jabez prays bless me, it's not a self-centered, it's Christ-centered. There's a big difference. And so when he says bless me, it's okay because we're going to break this down. Can this happen? Can we pray like this today in our life, in our church? For the next 30 days, I want to declare this next month, Judah month. When you get to ready to start complaining and whining and griping and considering, I can't go nowhere, I'll never be healed, I'll never be this, I'll never be that, I'll never do anything for God. I mean, God wants you to turn that into praise. For the next 30 days, you are Judah. You are not Jabez. So that's your challenge. You can go home today and we're done. No, I'm teasing. I still got a lot of preaching to do. Cry out to God like Jabez. Pray this prayer. What did he pray, Pastor? How did he pray? Bless me, O Lord. Bless me indeed. And like I said, it wasn't selfish. And Jabez was not going to settle for a future life of suffering and misery without any hope. He made up his mind. And I don't think this is a one-time prayer. He turned to God. He cried out to God. He believed that God's intervention could change the story of his life. I'm glad my girlfriend prayed for me. How many of you came into the kingdom of God because somebody prayed for you? How about a mama? How about a grandma or grandpa or dad? Somebody prayed you in. Is anybody here this morning? Are you grateful that somebody had enough to pray for you and now you know Jesus because somebody prayed? Bless my children. Bless my church. Bless my family. Bless my boyfriend. He needed a blessing. In fact, if I didn't get God, I never would have got her. That's the fact, Jack. And some of you are asking God for things, but you're not willing to let go of things of the past. Hey, God wants to bless your future, but you got to deal with your past. And you can't get the victory on your future because you keep living and dwelling in your past. I'm believing somebody's going to get set free this morning. And listen, God's blessing is not determined by your past lineage or circumstances or even your trauma. I'm sorry that you had somebody happen, bad things happen to you. Your mama dropped you on your head. I mean, it was probably a good thing to be dropped on your head instead of somebody else, because you might have hurt yourself if you got dropped on something else. But your head saved you. I mean, no, this world is hard-headed. Not Oak Grove, not anybody here today. Other churches, other people, not us. But there's a victim mentality out there today. That victim mentality changes your perspective and changes your faith. If you're always a victim, you're never going to get the victory. You're never going to get it. Your mind needs to change. If your mindset changes, then your vocabulary changes. And your prayer life changes. And Jabez believed that God could change his life. So bless me, he said. Well, it comes from a heart that pursues God genuinely. And the Israelites are coming out of exile, so maybe the timing might help you understand. When they were trying to rebuild their identity as God's people, trying to find their purpose, trying to reignite the passions and the destiny, they were trying to find themselves. And in the middle of all that, Jabez starts to pray about his future. So bless me is a cry to God that says, I want nothing to do with my past pain or problems. I want your blessing and your favor on my life and on my family and on my future and on my finances and on my friends and on my church. Anybody here want a blessing in your life? Oh, there you are. Jabez believed that God could do it. And this was not the Bless Me Club prayer. It was a prayer that desired a future in the Lord's favor. We started this year off with the favor of God. Hopefully we can end off with the favor of God. Favor is a big deal. How many wish you had the favor of God? Well, if you have God, you have the favor of God. Amen? But if you don't have God, you can't have the favor of God. If you want peace, how many know you have to have the God of peace? To have the peace of God. And this world is looking and looking and searching and striving to get and get and get, but they don't have God. I mean, oh, he is our peace. He is our favor. If you have Jesus, you have everything you need, and somebody ought to shout amen. So he's aspiring. He's asking God to remove the restrictions for his future. He's saying, Lord, I'm not doing this for selfish reasons. I need you to touch my life. Favor me. I want to walk in the fog, the favor of God. Something I came up with years ago, walking in the fog. If you know that the every year on Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies to present the blood from the sacrificed lamb, pure and holy and spotless lamb, put it on the mercy seat, and the Lord would push the sins of Israel to another year, to the next year. Temporary, but effective. How many know the blood? Come on, when I see the blood, how many know Passover meant something? If the blood is over the doorpost of your house, you have favor. You have deliverance. You have freedom. You have giftings. You have everything you need is from the Lord. When I see the blood, and so when he put the blood in the mercy seat, it took care of the future of Israel for a year, forgave their sins for a year. How many know what it's like to be free? And so favor isn't fair. And it's also not free. It cost Jesus his own blood. How many know Jesus loves his church? He paid for his church with his own blood. It's a high price for people who take him for granted. But God wants you to know that when he was in there, he also had the incense, the high priest, and he was in a small place behind the curtain. It's really not a large place. It's a small place. The Ark of the Covenant was there. And it started, the smoke started to fill the room. And he's walking in the fog, what I call the favor of God. And sometimes on this journey, you need to know that prayer is on your side. I mean, no, prayer is a benefit for the believer. And you can't see it, takes faith, Without faith, it's impossible to please God, but you'll get in the presence of God. You might not be able to see the outcome, but the God that you serve will take you where you need to go. He will provide for you. He will protect you. And this is what Jabez is doing. He said, Lord, bless me. I'm asking this morning, do you believe God could change your situation? That's what Jabez was saying. Remove the restrictions of my future. Give me favor. If my family's dysfunctional, bypass it. If my pain in my body, bypass it. If you're broke, how many know I'm going to opt out of a recession? I believe God's going to bring victory. Oh, Pastor, are you a name it, claim it? No. I'm a believer in a God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever I can even ask or think. And so are you feeling restricted by your past issues? Call on God. Bless me, Lord. Bless me indeed, oh Lord. Bless me big. Sometimes we got to learn as God's people how to learn how to pray big prayers. For God's too big for you to pray small. We're limiting ourselves. We're limiting God in our life. Pray, bless me indeed, like Jacob. Say, I'm not letting go until you bless me, Lord. He wrestled with God all the way till the morning. Let me move on to point number two, because point number one didn't get you excited. After he prayed, bless me, he said, enlarge my territory. Now, I'm ready for this one. I said, I'm ready for this one. How about you? Enlarge my territory. The word terra is land, okay? Enlarge my land. Increase my land. Increase my property. Lord, help me. Historically, in his day, land was marked by boundary lines, many times by large stones. Israelites' land was God's inheritance to each tribe, passed from generation to generation. Everybody, every tribe inherited land except the Levites. The Levites didn't have any inheritance of land because they said God was their inheritance. And they took care of the temple and they took care of God's house. How many know they lived in God's house? Can somebody say amen? You don't even need land when you have God. And that was why. And so this is the deal. They had an inheritance, and they're asking God in this prayer for more. Not just more property, not just more land. He wanted more influence. He wanted a testimony for the Lord. His prayer was to be more effective so he can make a difference. Enlarge my territory, Lord. It means give me increase or expand my influence for your glory. Let me be light and salt. Let, Lord, use me to expand your glory. Lord, let them look at me and see you. Less of me, more of you. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Are y'all getting anything out of this? He wanted a testimony for God. His prayer was to be more effective. And he said, give me increase, expand my influence so for your glory in your kingdom, not my kingdom. So territory literally means area, real estate, cord, C-O-R-D, terra, T-E-R-R-A, land. It is a boundary, a border of God's provision. Almost like if you had a rope around it or to let the world know, this place belongs to God. How many prayed when your kids were little, a hedge of protection over your children? Amen. And like I said earlier about the Passover, he said, I'm going to put a bloodline over your door, and death angel can't touch it. Nothing can stop you because you belong to me. That's the prayer. Lord, enlarge my territory. Give me influence. Let everybody around me know that favor is on me. Can I just tell you, you don't have to be jealous of somebody's blessing. That's a shame. How many know the spirit of jealousy needs to get out of the house? Don't hate me because God loves me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You say, well, you know what? I don't feel favored. Well, favor's not a feeling. It's a direct result of faithfulness. It's not an emotion at all. It's a direct result of a prayer that says, Lord, if you'll bless me, I will bless them. Are you getting this? So God expands the borders and he protects it, and you can't have it because it belongs to God. Say, Pastor, what belongs to God? Well, let's see. The Bible says the tithe belongs to the Lord. Hello. The Lord also says when it comes to bringing resentment or restitution or defending yourself, how many know that belongs to the Lord also? You don't have to fight. How many know the battle belongs to the Lord? There's a few things the Bible says that are His. And I don't know why we don't give up what belongs to God. How many know if you'll keep what belongs to God, you'll have nothing left? Because He can give increase, He can also take it. Boy, it's quiet in this Pentecostal church. It's quiet. And so God has some things reserved and preserved for you. He will expand it. He will protect it. And Satan can't have it because God preserved it for you. Can you say amen to that? Exodus 34:24. God wanted to bless Israel and expand their vision. Look what He said. I will drive out nations before you and enlarge your territory. That is what God desired. Here's what I believe. I believe it's God's plan, God's purpose, God's desire, God's will to bless you. You are His kids. Don't you just bless your kids? Maybe when your kid was born, say, hey, welcome to the family. You're not getting nothing for Christmas. You ain't getting nothing for Christmas. You don't tell your children that. How many know God is our Father? He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. So Jabez is just praying what God has already desired to do. Isaiah 54:2 uses some imagery to show increase on our impact. It said, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen the cords and strengthen your stakes. This is God's plan. Saying, Israel, I got land. I'm going to give you territory. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to enlarge your territory. I'm going to bless your family and your home for generation to generation. What I give you, you're going to be able to give your kids. Can I tell you, your kids need more than money? They need a heritage in the Lord. They need a Pentecostal foundation. Oh, they need to know the Word of God. So Jabez is praying, don't let my future be hindered by my name, which was pain. Reposition me, Lord, for future blessing and favor me. Impact. Make me an impact. Multiply my ministry. Multiply my life. He was determined to move forward in faith. Saying, basically, enlarge my territory. He's just simply saying, Lord, trust me with more. Can I ask you, Old Grove, this morning? If God gave you more, could He trust you with more? To whom much is given, much is required. You see, so it's not a bless me kind of idea. It is, Lord, if you will help me, I will do this for you. It's not a deal. It's not a contract. It's a covenant. He was determined to move forward in faith. Trust me with more. Break me out of my limitations. I feel that. Come on, church. If you've been bound by a bad habit, talk to God about it. I mean, God wants you to talk to Him in prayer. Lord, help me. I'm limited. I can't do this. I need you. If you've been bound by religion, talk to God. Did you know that religion is different than a relationship? A relationship is a conversation, a lifestyle with God. Religious is something that you go to and you do, check off the box and go home and there's no transformation. I mean, no, religion will bind you up, but a relationship with Jesus will give you life and favor and freedom and blessing. And so if alcohol has bound your life up, call on Jesus. Pray, Lord, bless me, save me, help me, stretch me, enlarge my life for your glory. How many believe the Lord wants to get glory out of your life? I do. I do. Say, well, I'm not worthy. Well, hey, join the rest of us. None of us worthy. By the grace of God, any of us got here today. Amen? So, Lord, he said, Lord, bless me. Pull me out of this and put me into new things. It's a new day. I'm tired of settling for whatever life gives me. I want more. I need more love. How many need more love? Because you're not living next to my neighbor. You live next to my neighbor, you need more love. How many need more grace? How many need more favor? How many need more money? Nobody needs money. Isn't that something? We can pay this thing off today. Now, ushers, come back. None of them need more money. I'm telling you, that I need more power, I need more wisdom, I need more strength, I need more love, I need more Holy Spirit in my life. So he said, Lord, enlarge my territory. I want you to see this, church. God is looking for movers and shakers, people who are ready to make a change, serve his purpose, serve his kingdom. I just want to ask, is your prayer always about you? I want you to think about that. Contemplate the thought. Every time you go before the Lord in his presence and you get on your knees, is it always about you? You and yours? How about we think about the kingdom for a minute? Can I tell you, if you start praying like you're interested in blessing God's kingdom, the blessings of God will be poured out on your life. But if all your prayers are centered around you, you might be depleted of everything you need to get what you need done. Pastor Ron, keep preaching. That's good. That's good stuff. In a Pentecostal church, they'd be having a Jericho march by now. Serve his kingdom. What about his kingdom? Identify, involve yourself in the gospel. God's redemption plan to build his kingdom. That's what he wants. You don't have to have money. You don't have to have degrees. You don't have to have connections. Jabez was depleted of all these things, but one thing he had, it reminds me of David, this one thing I do, I see the beauty of the Lord in the house of the Lord. I want more of God. It reminds me of the prayer of Hannah, who asked God, actually cried out to God, by the way, it's cried out. It's not this King James mamby-pamby prayer, you know. Oh, Lord of heaven and earth and thy kingdom, you know, and this and all that. I mean, no, the Lord doesn't speak King James English. Just for the record, people, that was King James that spoke like that, whithersoever you believeth. So here's the deal. God is giving Jabez opportunity to pray, identify with the kingdom, and he made himself available. Okay, and even Hannah, she cried out to God for a son, and she was barren, and it was not a good thing to be barren in Israel. But when she told God, look at her prayer, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you to serve in your kingdom. What a different prayer. What a different prayer. You give me your son, I'll give him back to you. That's why we do baby dedications. How many know the only one that can give life is Jesus? The only one can take life is Jesus. We're praying for Cindy and Laura and the family that lost her brother this past week. He's in the presence of the Lord with his mother, his father, his daughter. He's praising the Lord this morning. We're praying for your family. But I want you to know, when you leave here, if you're in Christ, you end up there. And if you think it's good here, I mean, it does get better than this. Say, why? I don't think it's going to get better. Hey, you know what? Your success is between your ears. Some of you just talk so negative and think so negative, you can't have a good day. Some of you, it takes you till noon to put a smile on your face. Look at your neighbor and smile. Maybe they'll smile back. He's just making himself available, just like Hannah. If you'll give it to him, and bam, just like that, Samuel was born and raised in the temple and became a prophet for God. First to anoint Saul as king. And David, what I'm saying is quit settling for a little service to God. God wants to use you. He wants to bless you. He wants to blast the boundaries. He wants to enlarge your territory. Is anybody getting any of this? God's too big for you to dream small. So my question this morning is, how far can you see? Do you see a little or do you see a lot? I don't know about you, but I pastor two churches. The one I'm in now, the one we're going to be in. It doesn't excite you, does it? Because without a vision, people perish. If this is all we're going to have, then let's eat, drink, and be merry and go to heaven. But how many know there's a lot of people in Greene County who need to come to Jesus? In fact, there's a lot of people around the world who need to come to Jesus. So if you count up the nickels and noses as Oak Grove and say this is all we are, how many know you are truly misled? Because we have souls over in PNG, and we have souls over in Thailand, and we have souls over in Samoa, and we have souls all around the world because of our missionary emphasis. So don't come calling on, this is how many you have? Is there anybody in the balcony? A couple of you. I know it's convenient up there. I don't know if it's cool up there, but it might be convenient up there. We love you. But I'm telling you, it's more than a crowd. God's not interested in a crowd. God wants a church, a healthy, strong, courageous congregation of people who love God, who have a purpose. So that's his prayer. God, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. Settling just for a little is not enough. Enlarge my territory, right? Can God trust you? If he enlarges your territory, can he trust you? He blesses us. So here's the situation. He blesses us so we can be a blessing to others. So the favor is meant to be lived out in service to the king who grants the favor. So many times favor is God shielding you from those things that distract you, destroy you, distort you. While you were sleeping, how many know the Holy Spirit was fighting the darts from the enemy off of your life, protecting you before you ever got up this morning? How many know the Lord cares about you? So this prayer of Jabez is not some self-centered prayer for him to live in his own pleasures, drive a pink Cadillac. It's not self-centered. It's actually counter to that, being committed follower to Jesus and God's will. So in fact, if you want comfort and convenience over commitment and consecration, God may in fact reduce your territory instead of increase your territory. And that's just a fact. Parable of the talents. I don't have time to go into it, but he gave one and he gave two and he gave five talents, and the one with five, you know, did a good thing to one, but the one hit it and then he didn't get it, took it and gave it to the other. He called him a wicked servant. God doesn't take well to a stingy, greedy spirit. Shout amen. It is the truth. But let's be honest this morning before I try to get out of here. Not many people are asking God to give them more. I know we live in a very busy culture, very busy, fast-paced culture. I love it. I love it. I try to keep up with all of them. I might die young, but it's okay. I had a great time running. It's not meant to be a rat race. It's meant to be a walk with God. Are you seeing that? It's not how fast you go, okay? The hare and the tortoise, right? It's not how fast you go. It's whether you cross the finish line or not. Amen? So if you're just, you know, say you can't take no more. look at Ezekiel 16:27. My God's people, he said, they were selfish, and this is what God's word says in Ezekiel 16:27, if you're taking notes. So God said, I stretched out my hand against you and reduced your territory. Because of your self-centeredness, I reduced your territory. So most people are asking for less and living below their potential. Too lazy for more. Too content. Too greedy for more. If God gave you more, what would you do with it? So, Pastor, I don't have any time. Well, how about you make use of the time he gave you? When it comes to money, we're not all on the same playing field. Some have more money than others. When it comes to talent, it's not all on the same playing field. When it comes to good looks, not all of you are as good looking as I am. And I understand that. But when it comes to time, we're all on the same playing field. You get 24 and 7, I get 24 and 7. Maybe it's not the time. Maybe it's how you manage it. How much of that 24 hours a day do you give to God in prayer? I know preachers that try to put this prayer sermons out there and bring, you know, guilt, condemnation. That's not the goal today. I'm telling you about how Jabez got a hold of God and changed his life. So learn to manage. I know there are some seasons where we need to take a break. Melissa and I just took a break. Wasn't much of a break, but we took it anyway. And most of us could do more if we just apply ourselves to do it right now. Managing your life. Melissa and I have to manage ministry. We can't let ministry manage us. Can you imagine? We'd be burned out. And not every need is a need that is constitution that God makes that we have to meet every need. I'm not the Messiah. You see any scars in my hand? I know who the boss is. How many know who the boss is? No, how many know who's in charge of this whole thing? It ain't me. And so I'm just saying, seasons come where we do need a break. But you can. Most of us could do more. Most of us could. It's not the other way around. Learn to manage money. Don't let money manage you. Jesus didn't have a day timer or a day planner. He ordered his life around the Father's will and other people's needs. You're not as busy as you think you are. manage it. Manage your time. Jabez said, bring it on. Enlarge my life. Enlarge my territory. Ditch the distractions that prevent him from having more favor, more of God in his life. And push the envelope. Somebody shout, push the envelope. Okay, come, a couple of you did. A couple of you. What is he talking about? He's giving away envelopes? Yeah, tithe envelopes right in front of you. Push the envelope. Maybe God wants you to meet more people this school year. Don't crawl in a hole, hide yourself. Can I tell you something maybe you don't know? COVID is over. Come out of the closet and go to. Well, that's a whole different meaning today too, isn't it? Bless the Lord. Better for you to come out of the closet and get saved than to stay in the closet and go to hell. I'll preach all day too. Maybe God wants you to meet more people, invite more people to church, bless more people, go on a missions trip, start a Bible club in the school, join a small group on Sunday night. You know we have church on Sunday night, don't you? A couple of you do. I'm believing that Oak Grove will start praying, enlarge my territory. Enlarge our next gen ministry. You can do more for the glory of God. That's the purpose of Jabez's prayer. The third one, his request is that you would hand, that your hand would be with, that your hand would be with me, your hand would be on me. I love this. The progression of this prayer. He asked for spiritual favor. Secondly, once God poured his favor on his life, then the blessings are transformed into ministry opportunities. And when God expands our potential and our capacity, he will overwhelm us with a lot of work. And then the opportunities come. And then he gives us all these opportunities. Then we need his strength and his mercy and his grace and his strength to keep going. That's the progression. We don't do this in our own strength. So 23 years ago, Melissa and I took this church. They invited us to be their pastor, and I'm grateful every day. We love you, and you also love us too. I already knew that, but you don't have to say it. I already knew it. But the first Sunday, we said yes. The second Sunday, we resigned. Really happened. It really happened. And the church kind of took a deep breath. You lasted 1 week? So no. We're not resigning. Please don't tell the board we need a check to feed our little baby girls. But what we resign is to the fact that we can do anything. I mean, unless the Lord build the house, we labor in vain that build it. If God doesn't do this, my friends, we're up a creek. And I think that's what Jabez was understanding. Lord, may your hand be with me. Expand our potential and our capacity so that we can seek your favor. It's our act of worship, right? It's at this stage we need increase of our faith. So we seek his favor, that's our worship. Then we ask for increase, that's our passions and our ambitions. And then we ask for his hand upon us to sustain us by the Holy Spirit so we can keep moving. How many today would like the hand of God to be on you? A couple of you? The hand of God's power. I got to finish this, and I'm going to stop right here. I might be able to pick up next week. Exodus 15:6, your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. How about his hand, his presence, the touch of the hand of God? Psalm 18:35. Your right hand sustains me. His protection. Wow. Psalm 139:10. Your right hand will hold me fast. His provision. Man, the provision of the Lord. How many know the hand of the Lord is full of provision for you? Psalm 145:16. You open your hand and satisfy. Hey, if anything else satisfies you besides the hand of the Lord, you know what? He will take his hand from you. It's a dependence. It's a codependent. Listen, you don't need drugs. You don't need alcohol. You don't need fame, fortune, or anything else. You don't need position or power. I mean, no, you need the hand of the Lord. That's what we need. God's hand upon our church, on our lives. So Jabez says, Lord, may your hand be with me, on me. Go into my future with me. And James says about prayer, hey, you have not simply because you ask not. You don't believe that the Lord's hand is on you. Maybe you don't feel willing or worthy. I don't know. But he lifts us up where we are down, and he strengthens us when we're weak. Does he not? And so never get used to living in your own power and strength. Instead, ask and believe, and when you see his hand at work, you will feel his presence, his power, his protection, and his provision. You are one prayer away from the unexplainable supernatural move of God's hand. And Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. Learn how to pray. Learn how to talk to God. Jabez knew that true miracles come not from the hand of a human, but from the hand of Almighty God. Supernatural power, wisdom. It all comes from the Lord's hand. Amen? And can we finish? Can I just finish it? Let's go to the last one. I got 5 minutes. The last thing he said was, keep harm from me. Take away evil. Keep me from evil. Sound like Jesus's prayer? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's kind of the same kind of mindset here. Keep me from harm. Take evil away. Jabez had a healthy awareness of discernment of evil that surrounded him, whether in his own heart or external temptations that were ready to pounce on him. As soon as you let your guard down, my friends, you just stop praying, and let me tell you something, you'll start straying. You stop praying, you start straying. There's a real enemy of our soul. And some of you are taking notes, and so I get it. You don't have time to say amen, but that's okay. You're getting it. You're getting it. How many's getting it? I'm ready for God's hand of divine empowerment. I want God to protect me from the evil one. Don't you? Protect my family. Plead the blood over them, God. And I'm not planning on giving in. I'm not letting my guard down. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving in. I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep on believing. How about you? That's his prayer. That's this. And don't give up. Look, remember Cain in Genesis 4:7. God told Cain, you do the right thing, son. I know you're jealous of your brother, but do the right thing. But if you don't do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. Sin desires to have you, but you must master it. Got to master sin. Can't let sin master you. Are you seeing that? And then what he told Jesus, told Peter, wow, supernatural spiritual warfare and prayer is critical. Jesus told Peter, Satan has desired to have you, Peter, to sift you like wheat. But are you ready for the good news? He went on to say, but praise be to God. Jesus countered that with, but I am praying for you, Peter, that your faith fail not. Not only was Jesus praying for him, how many know you're going to make it? If Jesus is praying for you, you're going to make it. And not only was he praying for him, he was praying that Peter would withhold, stand strong underneath the temptation that Satan put him under. And so I'm praying for you, he said, that your faith may not fail. And after that, I want you to help strengthen your brother. In other words, hey, Peter, I'm praying for you. I want you to stand strong under pressure and temptations and the enemy. But once you get yourself going straight again, I want you to help your brother. Can I tell you, Oak Grove, I feel like shouting. There is purpose in your prayer. You're not praying for nothing. It's not just for you. God's wanting to help you master sin and help you, friends, through powerful praying. And that's what Jesus prayed. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil so that we can be an impact upon those who need help. Lord, favor me so I can help them. And favor happens when God defends you from the enemy. Satan gets mad when you pray like Jabez, mad that God has blessed you, mad that God has extended territory and influence in your life, mad that you grew to trust God's hand daily. And now, because of all that, now you have become a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And so now the target is on your head. So keep me from evil. If you're struggling with temptation this morning, join the rest of the world. Temptation is not a sin. It's when you give in. James said, sin when it's fully mature brings forth death. Are you hearing this? You got to claim 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So the deal is not if, but when you're tempted. So in other words, you will be tempted. But he will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. It's a matter of time. I say it's time to move into prayer right now. Right now. I want them to come back to the platform because I'm done. I got one more minute to tell you a Thibodeau and Boudreaux joke. You know, somebody stopped me yesterday at the restaurant and said, are you Ron Moran? I said, yeah. and said, Steve Bradshaw told me that you need to tell me a Boudreaux joke. I was like, okay. So it was at Walmart yesterday. So I told him one. But you know, I don't know if you know about Thibodeau and Boudreaux, but Thibodeau hurt his arm, and he said to Boudreaux, I broke my arm, Boudreaux, in two places. And Boudreaux said, Thibodeau, you need to stay away from them places. I think Boudreaux got it. I said, I think Boudreaux got it. If you're tempted and you're in places you shouldn't be, Boudreaux's trying to tell you today, stay away from them places. You're not adding any favor and blessing to your life by being in the wrong place. Well, it's okay to drink. Doesn't mean you need to. It's not a sin to be this and do that. Hey, doesn't mean you need to. If it's not bringing you closer to God, it's probably taking you further from God. You need to leave it alone. Flee youthful lust. You don't need to do everything just because it's allowed. You need to keep your, preserve your integrity. Preserve your testimony. Stay away from places that could harm you. I think he's onto something. Quit putting yourself in the place of temptation. Stay away from there. Don't believe Satan's lie that just once won't hurt. Or now that I've sinned, I'm beyond God's grace, so I'll just keep on enjoying sin. There's no such thing as enjoying sin. Sin binds. No freedom in sin. It looks pretty. I said there's pleasure in the world for a season, but then the judgment. So just don't go there. Somebody shout, don't go there. Don't go there. You're not beyond God's grace. If you went there, just ask God to forgive you and keep you from evil. Not called to enjoy sin. It's another lie. Jabez asked God to keep him from harm and pain. And as a result, listen, sin always brings pain. Always. Always. And the most powerful part of moving into prayer is that God granted his request. It means, first of all, that God heard him, gave Jabez his attention. This morning, God is going to give you his undivided attention. When you come to this altar, he's going to talk to you. He's going to listen to you. Secondly, he was pleased to answer the request. After all this, is there any more slides? Is there one more? Said, if you will keep me from evil so that I might not cause pain to anyone. That was it. One more slide, maybe? That's it. Thank you. Thank you so much. So that I might not cause pain to anyone. Sin brings pain. God granted his requests. I think this was not a one-time prayer. It's a lifestyle of prayer. And what happened to him? 1 Chronicles 2:55. What happened to Jabez? He started a class of scribes who lived at Jabez. Jabez became name of a place where scribes came to study God's law, God's word. Jabez transferred the blessing. What does this say about Jabez? Not only was he a man of prayer, but he's a man of the word who passed on a lasting legacy to a class of scribes who gathered to study the word of God. And there's still a school of Jabez in Israel to this day. What will your legacy be, my friend?